With pure white feathers and piercing yellow eyes, the snowy owl is probably one of the most recognisable species of birds of prey in the world. This is an owl which thrives where other species of birds of prey are seldom even found, in some of the coldest regions on our planet. Hello, I'm Tom Morath. I'm the Deputy Head of Living Collection at the Hawk Conservancy Trust, and whether it be eagles, or vultures, falcons or owls, I have a passion for birds of prey and understanding their place in the natural world. Our podcast, Nature's a Hoot, is a way to delve deeper into the world of these winged predators, to understand their natural history, their current status in the wild, and how we can support them through conservation efforts into the future. This time, I'm going to be investigating the tundra ghost, aka the snowy owl. I'll be discovering how this species survives in its sub-zero habitat, what on earth they find to eat in such desolate tundra, and how scientists are studying their movements in the wild to understand how threatened they might be, and what can be done to support them. The snowy owl is essentially a large white owl, and in some cases, they're almost completely white, with luminous yellow eyes. They're a member of the Bubo family of owls, also known as the eagle owls, and are therefore grouped with the Eurasian eagle owl, one of the largest species of owl in the world. The snowy owl displays sexual dimorphism, meaning that there are differences in the physical characteristics of the males and females. This is shown in both size and plumage. The female is larger, with black speckled and barred feathers, whereas the males are smaller, and as they grow to full maturity, much whiter in colour. They're unusually strong on the wing for an owl, and are able to fly for long periods and travel to locations outside of their hunting grounds when the conditions are right. More to come on that later. To find this species in the wild, you'd need to travel to the Arctic regions of North America and Eurasia. In the UK, we're occasionally treated to a summer visitor in the Outer Hebrides and the Cairngorms. The last recorded successful breeding season was in 1975 on Fetlar, a remote island in the Shetland Isles in the north of Scotland. Education plays a large part in our ability to work towards our mission, the conservation of birds of prey. And what better way to engage our visitors with the incredible adaptations of species, as well as the difficulties they struggle with, than through face-to-face introductions.
She's a pretty determined little lady, pretty fiery little lady, ironically, I suppose. She knows what she wants, but she is really, really great fun to work with as well. And when you get that relationship, it's lovely.
Katie Barnes is a head of section at the Trust. In her care is Sweeney Todd, a female snowy owl who hatched at the Trust in June 2008. After 15 years at the Trust, she's made quite the impression and is a firm favourite among staff, volunteers and visitors alike.
I mean, they're an iconic species. They're beautiful, incredibly well known, and she is a joy to fly and to work with. They've got such a beautiful flying style, pretty unique to the owls. They've got that really strong flight where they'll go long distances. Most owls will perch kind of tree to tree. She doesn't have that option out in the tundra, so she's will just set her wings and glide for these really long distances, which you don't normally get to see with the owls. And her as a character, the fact that she is a bit picky makes it really nice when she accepts you.
So because she likes you especially, it's yeah. Like you feel honoured.
It feels nice.
Thousands of downy feathers, each adapted to conserve heat, with a large body mass, means these birds are very efficient at staying warm. Whilst we may not think we live in a particularly warm climate here in the UK, when you're an owl adapted to survive and even thrive in temperatures regularly plummeting below minus 25 degrees Celsius, anything beyond a few degrees above freezing can start to get you a little hot under the feathers. But Katie has got Sweeney Todd covered.
Are there ways that she can tell you that she's feeling warm? Are there things you look out for where she's getting a little bit too hot?
Absolutely. So she will drop her wings to kind of try and get that air circulation to cool herself down. Sometimes the owl's panting, again, just another version to cool themselves down since they can't sweat through skin. Another way to cool themselves down. And they could get lethargic like we would do, not wanting to move and stuff. So any of those kind of signs you could look for, we'd have an idea she's feeling the heat. So she's got a very shaded aviary. She's in a very shaded, quiet area of the park. And of course, one of the big things is we don't fly her in the summer, because obviously that would get her far too hot and bothered. So just keeping her on rest and cool was really nice. When it starts to get really hot, we do also put ice blocks in the water to kind of out ice Lolly, if you will, keep her nice and cool and safe. But for the most part, it's a nice shade aviary, plenty of water and fresh water, and letting her just chill out. Again, they're so widely beloved, so they're a species everyone, it attracts people as well. People want to come and see a snowy owl, and it's really important because they face problems as well. Being out, you know, in these very cold environments with global warming, they're impacted quite heavily, and so it's really important that we can get those messages across as well, and having her here helps us do that.
From the shade of a corner of the Hawk Conservancy Trust grounds to bespoke ice perches, Sweeney Todd lives in a pretty laid-back lifestyle with Katie and the rest of the team here. Her wild counterparts, though, don't have it quite so easy. We've established that snowy owls are adapted for the cold, but for many of us, it's hard to put into context the temperatures this species can endure. Some reports suggest that minus 68 degrees Celsius is survivable for the snowy owl. On the whole, they're on the hunt for rodents and other small mammals. But in more coastal regions, they've even been seen feeding on the carcasses of whales and dolphins. They've become specialists, evolving to become experts in successful Arctic survival. But change could be on the horizon. The Arctic climate is becoming increasingly unstable. Changes to the natural timings of the seasons and weather patterns could be causing this species to decline in the wild.
The snowy owl are faring not too bad. They're not increasing for sure. We know the population seems to be declining. Using several methods, we are able to assess their population, their effective population size. So it's a historical, we're going back in history to assess how many snowy owls there were and how many there are right now.
Jean-Francois Terrien, or JF, is the senior scientist at the Hawk Mountain Sanctuary in Kempton, Pennsylvania.
So Hawk Mountain Sanctuary was founded in 1934 to stop the shooting of migrating raptors. Migrating raptors at the time were considered vermin. People were gathering on top of the hills, shooting them as they migrate through. The hill provides a great view as migrating raptors are kind of soaring on the side of the ridge. So they're coming right at eye level, at gunpoint, at gun sight. I mean, you can reach them quite easily from the lookout. So the place was known as a place to shoot hawks as they migrate. And then back in the 1930s, a woman called Rosalie Edge stood up and said, "Okay, that's enough. We need to change minds around this. We need to protect raptors as they migrate. They're important for the ecosystem." So the sanctuary was founded to protect birds of prey as they migrate. Now it grew, it has expanded, it has a global reach all over the world. We have a traineeship program that attracts scientists and conservationists from around the world every year. And now we're doing a research and education project locally and globally. So we protect raptors by learning about them and by talking about them and educating people about it.
JF leads on Hawk Mountain's research projects in the Arctic, and is naturally the perfect person to ask about the research being undertaken to understand the current status of the snowy owl.
Like many other species, snowy owls are facing a diversity of threats. The pressures are coming from all over the place. Like I said, some habitat changes, shrinking of the tundra habitat. Snowy owls are specialists of the tundra. If you have just an increase in some degrees, you get more shrub growth. Phenomenon that we call shrubification. So the tundra, instead of being very low-lying plants, now you get shrubs and a change in the community with their prey, their preferred prey, the lemmings. All of that is shrinking towards the pole, towards the North Pole. So their habitat is shrinking. Adding on this, you have new contaminant in the environment. You have new development for mines for natural resources. And then in the wintertime, they tend to come, some of them will stay up in the Arctic, some of them will come south, and then they're facing a lot of threats with sharing the habitat with humans. So vehicle strikes, airport, plane collisions, and then the typical marshland, flat, open prairie habitats are being more and more developed every year. We are using, how do you say that, a thorough approach. So we're studying every aspect of snowy owls' life history trait. So we're looking at how the breeding is going, what's the reproductive rate, what's the abundance, what's the survival rate for adults, for young ones, their movement pattern, their habitat use, habitat selection, contaminant load, causes of mortality, et cetera, et cetera. So we're looking with collaborators. This is not me alone. We're a team of collaborators from around the world gathering together to assess what pressures are acting on snowy owl, and what are the limiting factors? Where do they have wiggle room, and where they're hard pressed? Snowy owl, for so many reasons, they attract they touch people because of their charismatic nature. They look pretty awesome, I need to say. They were featured in popular movies that helped too. So they're well known. They're well known all over the place. You show a picture of a snowy owl to anyone on Earth, it might actually know what it is. They are hard pressed because they're specialists of that ecosystem, which is the tundra. Their reproduction is tightly linked with the abundance of small mammal called lemmings. Lemmings are the main herbivores in the tundra, and those lemming those species show variation in abundance. Some years you got very few of them. One year out of four, you got a peak in abundance. Numerous lemmings out on the tundra, and then snowy owl gather and reproduce heavily on those. On the tundra, they're very efficient at finding them when lemmings are numerous. It's not synchronous around the whole tundra. So you have a pocket high of lemming in some region one year, and then the following years, you got very few of them. So snowy owl are specialists at finding those places.
Where most owls might choose to adopt a more low-level glide to get from A to B, the snowy owl has a powerful wing beat, enabling them to fly in more challenging conditions. This makes perfect sense, as they've evolved to hunt throughout the windswept tundra of the Arctic Circle.
So we published several papers, scientific papers. It was reported in news all over the world over the years. We found fascinating behaviors, one of them being the high dispersal, the large dispersal distance from one year to the next, the longest, largest dispersal distance ever recorded on any animal. So from one successful breeding season to the next, they're moving hundreds of kilometers between the two. Typically, most birds, most mammals, when they're successful, they tend to go back to the same locations, and we all do the exact opposite. They go wherever lemmings are. And then we discovered as well that snowy owls use the sea ice in the wintertime. That was known from some Inuit people, but the extent and the amount of time snowy owls spent out on the sea ice was unheard of. We didn't know that snowy owl switch into becoming a marine predator in the wintertime. So the snowy owls are being hard pressed by climate change, by human development. We're lucky because we are studying them very closely. But they'll be impacted for sure by the changes in the ecosystem, the composition of plant and the small mammal. And we've seen that some places where change in composition has lowered the abundance of lemmings, snowy owls don't breed anymore. So my colleagues in Norway were studying snowy owl for years, and a period, I don't want to say the wrong number, but for several years, I would say 14 to 20 years, they didn't have any snowy owl because there were never a time where lemmings were numerous enough. So my Norwegian colleague thought they had lost snowy owls forever, which is a big loss for a northern country like Norway. Luckily, the lemmings peaked back a few years ago, so they had snowy owls again. But this is something that we'll have to see how it pans out, because losing such a species is a big loss for any of those countries, and we don't want to be losing snowy owl totally. We know for snowy owls, the biggest threat right now is global climate change. That's not an easy task to reverse, but we need to have knowledgeable people putting pressure on everyone, I mean, everyone's habit and protecting our planet into not overheating.
Clearly, JF has got a soft spot for snowy owls. But that doesn't mean the answer to our regular question is a foregone conclusion. So I have to ask, JF, if you were a bird of prey, which species do you think you'd be, and why?
Oh, that's a good question. It's a very hard question to answer. I have an affection for a lot of those species because of particularity of their life histories. I guess I need to pick the snowy owl because we just talked about it. I like the fact that they change scenery every year. I like to travel, I like to go places, but still they're not crowded, they're not colonial. I kind of feel I like to have my space. So yeah, I think I'd pick the snowy owl.
Ah, of course it was the snowy owl. It makes total sense. Spending time alongside these awesome white birds has clearly left a lasting impression on JF. And I, for one, am very interested to watch how research projects play out into the future. We know that the long-term impacts of our changing climate are likely to be disastrous, and that some species who have specialised to thrive in niche environments, like the snowy owl, are likely to be some of the first noticeable casualties. It's as important as ever to understand species like the snowy owl, understanding their habits, their movements, and threats, as this could be the key to saving them. Birds like Sweeney Todd also play a key role in establishing connections between humans and the natural world. I, for one, think that Sweeney is a fantastic ambassador for her species. Gliding silently overhead, her white plumage and golden eyes almost glowing in the low sun during our winter flying displays, winning the hearts of all who meet her. And quite right, too. I'd like to thank my guest, Jean-Francois Terrien from the Hawk Mountain Sanctuary, and my colleague, Katie Barnes, for their support in putting this episode together. If you want to know more about how you can come and meet Sweeney Todd and the other birds, or for more information on our conservation and research projects, you can find out loads more on our website, hawk-conservancy.org. Lots more bird of prey content can also be found on our social media pages. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and perhaps consider leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts.